Well, right after I graduated from high school, my grandparents did some short-term mission work in Australia. And that summer they were gone. For some reason, they decided to loan their convertible to their 17-year-old grandson, who just finished up high school and was getting ready for college. And let me tell you, that was a good summer. I enjoyed driving around, 17-year-old kid. I thought I was so cool driving that thing. I didn't tell everybody it was my grandma's. I thought that might take some of the luster away, but I was driving that convertible, and things were going so smooth that summer until one day when I was driving and I hit something. And I don't even know what I hit, but I remember pulling into the driveway, looking at it, and just about crying when I saw the black marks right across the car. And I was just thinking of, oh, I never even thought that I might get in an accident. How much is this going to cost me? I didn't have a ton of money. I was making very little, getting ready for college, and I was just thinking, this is not good. And I remember just wishing, I wish I could have gone back in time and undo it. Because, man, those marks were there. They were permanent. But some things you just can't undo, can you? All of us, we look back, there are some things that we wish we could unsay. Maybe some words spoken in anger. Maybe there's some texts or that you wish you could unsend or emails. Maybe there's some Facebook posts you wish you could unpost. There's some things that you did that you wish you could undo, but it's irreversible. Now, some moments like mine were inconvenient, and they happen, and it's going to cost you something. It's going to be inconvenient. Some moments that are irreversible are very costly, and they're going to cost a lot, and they may lead to lifelong heartaches. And then there are some irreversible events that leave a hole in your heart forever, and you're never the same because of these irreversible events. And today we're looking at a story of something irreversible, and we're wondering what God has to do in the irreversible moments. So this is a very famous story. Jesus and three of his close friends, their names were Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And it picks up in John chapter 11, verse 3. So the sisters, Mary and Martha, sent to Jesus saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." Going on. So we got somebody they love, that Jesus loves, is ill. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. A few years ago, my youngest daughter, Cora, was 2 at the time. She was really sick, and Jenny and I started worrying about her. And we just got to the point, she wasn't responding, her temperature was high, and we just knew we had to go to urgent care. So we waited, you know, very stressed out as parents, worried about our little one. She just wasn't herself. And when we finally got in to see the doctor, he did a few tests, and he seemed really serious. And I always kind of read a doctor by his mannerisms. And he said, "You need to take her to the emergency room right now." So he said that directly to us. And Jenny and I, we love Cora so much. So we went home and acted as if nothing ever happened. We waited a few days, right? We loved her. So when we were told to take her to the ER, we went home and said, we don't have anything to worry about. We'll try it in a couple days, right? Does that make any sense whatsoever? No. As you can imagine, we got to the hospital as fast as we could. Because that's what you do if you love somebody, right? Because we loved Cora, we took her straight to the hospital, made arrangements for the kids and all that. But so when we're looking here at Jesus here, let's look at this again. When he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Jesus loved Lazarus. Isn't that weird? So Jesus loved Lazarus, so when he heard he was ill, he stayed where he didn't do anything for 2 days. That, to me, makes no sense. And I think we could all agree, if we're looking at this story, say, especially if we're looking at this story for the first time, I think we can agree that that part doesn't make any sense. And I was thinking back to a time and a few years back, Jenny and I read the Harry Potter series, and there are 7 books in that series. And she was reading them out loud, and we were getting ready to finish the 6th one. It's called The Half-Blood Prince, because we were going to go see the movie that night. We wanted to read the book before we went and saw the movie. So she's finishing up, and we're getting it finished so that we can go see the movie. And as she finishes this book, the way that it ended made no sense to me, and I was angry. And I said, I hate this story. I'm not going to see the movie. These stories are ridiculous, because what happened in that book made no sense. And Jenny just kind of listened to me like she does when I'm off on a tangent or doing my little ranting and raving. As I'm talking about how terrible this story is and how it makes no sense, she just said, she'd already read all the books. She said, wait till the end. It's like, I know it doesn't make sense right now, but wait until the end. I've read the last one. Wait till the end. Just go see this movie. I know you're mad, but I don't think you'll be mad after the last one. And she was right. It wasn't until, because we finished book 7, we had not read books. I had not read book 7 yet. That book did not make sense at that point, but it was not the end. And again, this is where we are with Lazarus in that story. Doesn't make sense right now. Jesus is told about Lazarus. He loves him, so he waits another couple days. He gets sick, and he dies. That does not make sense, but it's not the end of the story. So Jesus goes to see Lazarus. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. We're going to skip forward to John 11:21. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Do you hear the blame in that? What is one of the things Jesus is known for? He was a teacher. He was a healer. He did some miracles. But a lot of sick people would come to Jesus, and Jesus would heal them. Whatever kind of infirmity they had, they were sick. Maybe they were blind, and he helped them see. They were deaf. He helped them hear. Had a fever. It went away. Jesus was known to do that, and so when Jesus finally arrives, Martha says to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, it's common when something terrible happens to do the ifs, right? Man, if only this would have happened, then that would have never. If only I would have gotten to the hospital a little bit earlier. If only we would have made that call. If only I would have visited the doctor a couple years earlier. If only, and we can do this, if only I never would have let him drive there. If only I would have stopped him before he did it. That is a very natural thing to do, the ifs. Man, what would have prevented this tragedy from happening? If you would have been here, Jesus, my brother would not have died. So what Martha says there is very ordinary, because we find reasons, we find blame. But what Martha says next is extraordinary. She says, but even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. I love that. Look at those first 3 words. But even now. I was wondering, what's Martha thinking here? Now, a lot of you know the end of the story. You know what's going to happen here, and we're biased in that way. But what is Martha thinking here? Is she thinking that Jesus is going to bring her brother back from the dead? No, I don't think so, because of, she says at the last days it could happen, but he's been dead for 4 days. I don't think she's thinking it's possible that he's going to come back from the dead. But she is declaring her faith in God. But even now, even when it's at the bitterest moment, even though my brother's been gone, even though I'm disappointed in you, I'm disappointed in God, I'm disappointed with these circumstances, even now, where my heart is broken, life is never going to be the same, even now, I'm going to put my trust in you. Even now, I trust you. I think Martha's declaring her faith, no matter how bad it's gotten, even now, even how low it is, I trust you. And I have hope that something good can happen, that this is not the end. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And Martha said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Think about what's going on here. She expresses her belief in Jesus that he is the Christ, that God is God. Even though her world has been rocked, even though it's torn apart, even now she believes. And is thinking about this. What needs to happen before a resurrection? What needs to happen? Death, right? Because I think everybody wants a miracle, but no one wants to be in a situation where they need one, right? So resurrection sounds great, but the part before that is awful. Death. Death before resurrection. What has to happen for a healing? What has to happen first? Sickness. Healing is great. Sickness, not so much. What has to happen before a miracle? Some sort of a problem, right? Before every miracle, there's got to be a problem, and that is not the part that any of us want. A lot of us, we want a miracle, but we don't want to be in a situation where we need one. And I think that that's human nature. Because I know I don't want to be in their situation. And I know a lot of you know what's coming with this story. It's death before the resurrection. But think about how disappointing this moment is. And where Martha was. Martha doesn't know how this story is going to end. But even in this low spot, she says, "But even now. But even now." What are you going through right now? Could it be possible that, but even now, God is working in your circumstance? Even though you can't see it, even though it seems irreversible, even though it seems as though all hope is lost, even though it seems as there's permanent damage done, what are you going through right now? Here's one of the things. Our call as a church, the mission is to make disciples. It's as simple as that. And all of life really is discipleship. Discipleship is how we treat people. Discipleship is how we interact with our families and neighbors, how we serve. Discipleship is how we react, how we respond to adversity. When troubles come our way, how we respond and how we move forward or don't. That's part of discipleship. It's life and how we live. But the thing is, if you follow Jesus, here's one thing I'm pretty sure is true. If you follow Jesus for more than a couple of weeks, you're going to have disappointments. And like Martha, you're probably even going to be disappointed in him. God, if only you would have done this. You're God and you supposedly are over everything. Why did this happen? If we follow Christ for more than a couple of weeks, we're probably going to be disappointed. Almost certainly going to be disappointed. So the question is not, will we have disappointments? Unfortunately, I'm here to tell you, you're going to be disappointed about some things. And God may not even perform as you hope he does. It's not whether we're going to have setbacks. It's not whether we're going to whether or not we're going to go through adversity, whether or not our hearts are going to be broken, because something's probably going to happen that's going to break our hearts. Something's probably going to happen that's going to be very difficult for us to go through. The question is, how will we respond? Will we just react? Lose hope? That's an option, and that happens. Will we get angry? Will we rage? How are we going to react? Or how are we going to respond to disappointments? How are we going to respond when our heart is broken? How are we going to respond when it's dark, when we don't feel like we can hear God, when we pray and pray and pray, and it just seems like heaven is silent? How are we going to respond in the darkness? Martha said, "But even now." But even now. Because if you're not going through a dark spell right now, a lot of us are here, but if you're not, you will be. And we need to even be preparing right now for the darkness, the heartbreak that we're going to go through, because it's going to come to all of us. How are we going to respond? Even right now, no matter what you're going through, is it possible that even right now there's hope? And that is it possible that we serve a God who is a but even now God, and even when everything looks dark, that he's doing his greatest work? Is it possible? Maybe it is. And what I want you to hear this morning is hope, because hope is laced all throughout the Gospels. In dark moments, it's not as it seems. It's not the end of the story. This seems about as the end as you can get. Lazarus died and he was dead for 4 days. It seems like a the end, but not everything as it seems. And is it possible that Martha's faith was right on, that we have a but even now God, even when it seems dark, even when it seems hopeless, even when it just seems like you're losing, God maybe is doing his greatest work. Going to move now to John 11, 33 through 36. When Jesus saw her weeping, he's moved on from Martha. He's gone to the other sister, Mary. And Martha expressed her faith. Martha was a real go-getter. She'd expressed her faith and they'd interacted. And now he's going to Mary. And Mary seems to be a person who reflects a little more often and is a little more emotional. And so when he gets to Mary, he sees her weeping. And the Jews who had come with her were also weeping. Jesus was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. Don't you love that? Jesus, as God in the flesh, saw someone who he really loved who was upset. He saw people weeping, and it said he was troubled. God in the flesh wept with people. So Jesus said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Now Jesus wept. That is my son Caleb's favorite Bible verse. I think you can guess why, can't you? It's just one verse. If you memorize this today, you've memorized a Bible verse, you get a gold star. Congratulations. A lot of you probably even know it. But Jesus wept. It's his favorite verse because it's two words, easy to remember. But man, it's a powerful one to think about. Jesus wept. And when John was writing this, he was really intentional about having this verse in there. This is a big point, that Jesus wept. I heard recently about two brothers who just really loved each other, and the older brother was getting married, and he asked his younger brother to give the best man toast. He was going to be the best man and give the toast. So the younger brother just loved his brother so much and spent a lot of time writing, and he thought he came up with just the perfect toast. And so after the wedding, they were at the reception. The best man brother, the younger brother, takes the mic, and he gets out his paper. And as he starts to read, he can't. He's overcome with emotion. He starts to choke up. And then he corrects himself. And then he skips down a few places. He says a couple words, but he can't say anything. And he just keeps crying. And so finally, after like 3 or 4 starts and trying to read this toast, he just says to my brother. He gave the toast. And afterwards, he felt so disappointed that he couldn't give his brother, his best friend, the toast that he thought his brother deserved. But the thing that he didn't realize is that his tears said more for his love for his brother than even his best words could have. And everyone at that reception remembered, and they saw the love that he had for his brother, and he said no words. Jesus here is saying more with no words than he could have with thousands of words. Jesus wept. Jesus is so overwhelmed that his silence speaks loud and clear. And again, the silence of Jesus, when God doesn't speak and it seems like bad things happen, it's not because God doesn't care. As we believe, if Jesus really was God in the flesh, is the Son of God, and reflects the character of God, we have a God who weeps with us. We have a God who is touched by our pain, and a God who cares. We don't have a God who's indifferent. Jesus wasn't indifferent. Even the Jews around, see how he loved him. And that's just as the people at the wedding said saw the tears of the best man and said, see how he loved him. So the Jews looked at Jesus' tears and said, see how he loved him. But there's a but next. John 11:37. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also kept this man from dying? And that's a good question. That's a question I think a lot of us have asked. If God could do anything, why didn't he do it? If Jesus loved Lazarus so much and had this healing power, why didn't he come right away? Why didn't he say the word? He's done it before. He said the word and healed people. Why didn't he keep this man alive? Good question. If God can heal, why not me? Right? Maybe you've said it in your life, maybe about a loved one, maybe about a friend. Why God? Why this one? Or about you? Why God? It seems like these good things are happening to everybody else. Why not me? Why do I seem to be suffering? Why didn't he do this for me? I like this statement from Oswald Chambers. Sometimes it seems like God is missing the mark because we are too short-sighted to see what God is aiming for. Again, discipleship. What does it mean to follow Christ? What does it mean to work with God and believe in a God who is with us? It's everything. It's life. It's how we respond to adversity. It's what our hope does when things are dark. Does your pain seem irreversible? But even now, we have a God who loves us. Even now, there is hope. Easter. We're getting ready to celebrate Easter in 2 weeks. And Easter is a celebration when it seemed like all hell was breaking loose. Literally, things like there are people coming out of tombs. It was dark. There was darkness on the land during an afternoon. Like, things were dark and terrible. Even when it seemed like everything was the bleakest, hope was winning, and we didn't see it. Well, so what I want to encourage us to do, how do we apply this? What can we do? Again, when we see those difficult things, when it seems like our heart's breaking, when we don't understand, we can follow the pattern of Martha, but even now, God, I believe you can help me. Even now, God, I want to have hope. But even now, Lord, let's look and realize that even when things look dark, that it's not the end. It's not the end. That God has not finished the story yet. And your story may not make sense right now, but it's not the end. The final chapter has not yet been written. And so we can say with Martha, but even now, Lord, pray that, God, this doesn't make sense to me, but even now, God, you can work good. God, I hurt right now. It's dark. I can't even hear from you right now, Lord. But even now, I come to you for help. But even now, we can pray the prayer of Martha, but even now. And again, that's what I want to encourage you to do. And especially something, if something causes pain or something confuses, something that just is a frustration, an irritation, something that seems irreversible, to remember the prayer of Martha, but even now, and offer that to God. Back to the convertible. Let's go full circle with that. I just remember thinking, okay. And then it started to dawn on me, maybe insurance. Maybe this isn't irreversible. Maybe something's going to, maybe it won't cost me a fortune. And I was just kind of staring at the marks and feeling stressed. My uncle pulled into the driveway, and I told him what I did, and he said he grabbed a rag and some alcohol, and he marked those marks right out. He said, your grandparents don't even have to know about it. I won't tell them. But the convertible, it was just a surface mark, and it seemed irreversible, but it wasn't. And just as in a much bigger way, the story of Lazarus was not irreversible. John 11:41-44. So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When Jesus had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out. The story was not the end. I wonder here if the reason why Jesus didn't reveal his healing power to Lazarus is because he'd already done that. And the reason Jesus loved him so he didn't heal him, because he wanted to do something even greater. He wanted to resurrect him and reveal a deeper power than healing, the power of resurrection and life after death. No matter how broken we are as people, no matter how dark it looks, Easter says that it's not the end, that there's hope even when it looks dark. And with a song we're closing out with, there's a line that I really love and that I believe in. And it's maybe easy to believe when things are going well, but man, in the dark, it's hard to believe. But there's a line that says, "Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal." And I think that's a message of Easter. Man, there's some sorrows, they seem like they're irreversible. It seems like our heart's going to be broken forever. But we have a but even now God, and there's no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how could it be that you rejoice over us? And even more powerfully, how could it be that you weep over us? As people who are prone to weakness, failure, pain, and short-sightedness, we need to see that we are loved. We need to know that you are the author of life who can redeem our stories. Help us to have faith like Martha, that in the darkness can declare our faith in a but even now God. Remind us that the middle of the story sometimes doesn't make sense, but that we can put our faith in the end of the story. Fill us with a stubborn hope that is contagious. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.